hangers and the like. I don't see as to why somebody gonna blame the UPND as if that person was there, you know what I mean? We've got these local fangas, you know what I mean? So these are the people that are banned these powers, and they have to be caught by something here.
All right, thank you so much, Jimmy.
I think you do know what he means. You do get it, right?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? I know what you mean.
I mean, we need to get to the news.
Okay, if that's what you mean, then I agree with what you mean. Okay, so, I mean, the fact of the matter is that the two political parties, both UPND, I know in this case it's the Tonse Alliance, it's not just the PF, but, I mean, the PF is anchoring the Tonse Alliance. Their chairman is the president of the PF, we cannot ignore their influence in the whole alliance altogether. And the truth is that both sides, both parties, in this case the groups, have got a history of violence. The PF always accuse the UPND, the UPND always accuse the PF, but the truth is that both of them are found in these kinds of situations. We've seen members of the UPND who have been beaten badly, others have been died. We've seen members of the Patriotic Front also getting injured. This has happened before on both ends, and we just don't know for how long this is going to be, especially the PF and UPND conversations. In this case now, Tonse Alliance and UPND conversations. I don't know for how long Zambians will have to do this.
The blame
especially
needs to stop.
The innocent Zambians.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's public disorder there. It gets disrupted. People will be living in fear.
Each party
a stone will be thrown and might just fly at you in the process.
Each party should... obviously, we've heard them condemning all these acts of violence, but they should take a step ahead and just say, okay, if we find out that you were part of this or you instigated this happened, there were consequences. But because maybe it's just, you know, sidelined and nothing is done, this is why we keep seeing this happen every time.
Yeah, we really need to, I think we would probably need
it starts with the parties themselves.
We need to like a part two of this conversation, because this is worrisome. We need to create solutions as to how we can avoid this, especially that we're going into a very, very, very political year next year. We really need to avoid this. But for now, we get to the main news bulletin up next. It's 8:02.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check. There we go.
106.7. Bonzi.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
You know that feeling of frustration when you're told, sorry, we don't take mobile money payments. Turn that frown into a smile. With the upgraded Absa POS machine, you can pay for your items using your mobile money wallet, Visa credit or debit card, MasterCard, and more. Now that's a payment solution with more convenience. Call 5950 to sign up or find it at a supermarket near you. Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. Zamsa forensic audit report complete. Sadora doubts stable cooking oil prices despite increased soybean yield. Crowds overrun US-backed group's new aid distribution site in Gaza. Present the news. I'm Lusavilo Gondwe. Health Minister Dr. Elijah Muchema has disclosed that the forensic audit report for the Zambia Medicines and Medical Supplies Agency, ZAMSA, into drug theft is now complete. Dr. Muchema tells Phoenix News that stakeholders across the health sector and investigative wings are reviewing the findings and formulating recommendations to strengthen drug management and curb future losses. He has confirmed that legal action, including prosecutions, will follow once evidence is fully vetted by investigators and prosecutors, and emphasized the need to balance transparency with the integrity of the ongoing proceedings. However, the health minister disclosed that the final report will not be made public, as stakeholders are already evaluating it, noting that no reversal to drug theft or any other benefits will be realized out of publishing the report publicly. The audit covered the receipt, delivery, storage, distribution and usage of medicines funded by USAID and other partners, which commenced on the 4th of October 2024, following concerns raised by cooperating partners and the public regarding the theft of public medicine.
We had the initial report on the SAMHSA, what has been going on, and we took action. And now the final report has come. We've been meeting with these stakeholders and partners from different contexts. And this report has not generated simply because somebody echoed and started talking to APC. No! Let the due process go. Even if we publish it today, what will it benefit? It is a benefit, but first of all, let the agencies use the information. And then whatever it is, it's already public that it has been there. Even if I give it to you, young man, what will you use it for? We want, first of all, to go into detail of the report.
The Crushers and Edible Oil Refiners Association, SEDORA, has doubted the possibility of cooking oil stabilizing despite a projected soybean harvest of 288,798 tons for the 2024 to 2025 season, up from 169,700 tons last year. SEDORA Executive Director Dr. Aubrey Chibomba says achieving price relief requires regularly producing more than 800,000 tons, nearly three times the forecast output. In an interview with Phoenix News, Dr. Chibomba says at the current level, domestic soybean yields will meet less than one-third of the country's cooking oil demand, forcing refiners to continue importing crude vegetable oil. He argues that due to these factors, cooking oil prices will remain vulnerable to exchange rate movements and global supply disruptions, with little likelihood of near-term relief for consumers. Dr. Chibomba is proposing focus on investment and expansion in soybean cultivation before any meaningful impact on local cooking oil prices can be realized.
We would have to start getting into the region of producing 700,000, 800,000 tons of soybean regularly for it to start impacting domestic prices, as, for example, happened around 2022-23. At this level, where less than one-third of the cooking oil that we consume, we're going to have to import in as crude oil. This means that we'll have vulnerability to exchange rate fluctuation, and as well as any other external shocks. So my take is that it's very unlikely that we're going to see any positive impact on prices despite the increase in soybean production.
The $21 million Mopani Central Training Center has begun attracting international mining students from various continents, offering access to high-quality technical training. According to Mopani Copper Mines Chief Executive Officer Charles Sakanya, the institution has already trained numerous students from Liberia and is currently hosting trainees from Botswana in allied mining courses. Mr. Sakanya has disclosed that discussions are underway between the training center and several mining companies in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, to train their employees. He has also noted a significant increase in enrollment from students sponsored through the Constituency Development Fund, CDF. Mr. Sakanya has further emphasized that the institution remains committed to providing specialized skills training which supports the mining sector both locally and internationally.
The school has not only enrolled Zambian students, but has also students that have come from other African countries. For example, last year we had students from Liberia. This year we have students from Botswana in Botswana. The school is currently in discussions with some companies in DRC. We have also seen a surge in sponsorship of students through CDF funding. We are also in consultation with some German companies that are coming to help develop a curriculum that will support skills that support the mining industry.
Social anthropologist Dr. James Musonda has called for transparency and local value.